I'm not making this story up. There were actual reports in the 30s of a mongoose talking in a farmhouse wall.
Welcome to the Oddity Archive with Evan and David.
I am recording season 3, episode 3. Jeff the Mongoose. Jeff spelled G-E-F. Jeff the Mongoose.
And I'm rolling now here. Check it. Check.
All right.
Jeff. Jeff.
Do a couple Jeff checks.
Check one, Jeff. Over. Check, Jeff. Good, Jeff. Over.
I appreciate that. When I texted you about recording tonight, you were like, well, I'm on the tail end of being deathly ill for 2 weeks, and I'm still not all the way there, but I want a margarita. So
I was on a work trip and got cripplingly ill the day that I left for it. So I was like, sweet, this is perfect time. But I was in New York City for Cinco de Mayo, and I just knew everyone around me was having the margaritas that I wanted to have. And instead, yeah, I was curled up in the fetal position in a very tiny hotel room in Times Square. So that was my Cinco de Mayo, but I think I'm just well enough now where the joy the margarita brings me will offset the impact it has on my immunoresponse. This is my science that I'm running with.
Okay. So we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo late.
Yeah. And, you know, I can only hope this story has a little bit of Latin flair, but, you know, we'll see.
I thought about joining you. So I'm just 100% a suburban dad now.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the garage fridge.
So we keep the good stuff.
That's just where the alcohol lives.
Okay.
Then all I had in the Cinco de Mayo vein was a boxed, I think the brand is just called Vibe, margarita malt beverage.
Okay.
One of those like box wine flavored things that you see a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought about doing that, but that thing is like 11% alcohol and I have to be up at like 5:45 tomorrow. So I decided to go with my Food Lion brand, Black Cherry Seltzer Water.
Okay. How strong is that?
Not strong enough.
Well, thank you for joining me in spirit. We appreciate your service.
Mm-hmm. As do I with you coming on here deathly ill.
Well, we joked about starting off an episode with just like hospital bleeps of me in the bed just trying to recover. But I feel like it's been half a month that I've been kind of getting over whatever.
If you need to just fall asleep at any point, I'll carry the show. I'll wake you up for the outro. No worries.
I do ask that you just kind of do my voice and try and play my part, though. And we'll see if anybody can pick up on it.
Okay.
You think you could do a good Evan?
Yeah. Where's that on a map?
Yeah, just have horrible geography and then combine all the conclusions into one. My time will come.
So I have a few things to go over before we jump into Jeff the Mongoose.
Love the name.
My friend Paige told me about this story. Mm-hmm. She was like, you should cover Jeff the Mongoose on the podcast. I was like, yeah, sure. So I looked it up and I was like, okay, this is a legitimate paranormal unsolved case.
Were you familiar at all with it?
I had never heard of it before.
Okay.
And then I dug a little deeper into it and I genuinely think that this is the most absurd episode of this show that we have ever made.
Mm-hmm.
And so my recommendation to everyone out there, yourself included, is try not to get caught up in all the details of this story and just enjoy the ride. There's going to be some insanity going on with today's episode.
Okay. Sounds like a fun one. Thank you, Paige, for the rec. We will see where we go.
So I've got that. And then got a message on Instagram from, I think, your friend Madison.
Yes. Old college friend.
She sent a link to a cover of, it was either a No Doubt song or just a Gwen Stefani song with all of the consonants removed. So it was like just singing the vowels.
That was the challenge or that's how the song goes?
That was the cover that she sent.
Oh, okay.
Which that's just too complicated. But I do think it is a good idea for at the end of this episode, you to make a song in the style of Gwen Stefani and or No Doubt.
Okay.
As Jeff the Mongoose.
Okay.
And you're going to have plenty of material to make a song out of.
Song in the vein of Gwen Stefani or No Doubt in the guise of Jeff the Mongoose.
Yes. And as per usual, we're just going to yell at Jess to come in and sing for us, because she's the best singer by far of us.
So, I won't take that personal. That's fine. Sam the Sandown Clown, I thought, was just beautiful.
That's an all-timer. We need to get that on Spotify.
Yeah. Well, I've been thinking we need to have Odd Records, and it's just somewhere all these songs can kind of just live. You never know. We may have one viral hit that kind of carries the show.
Yeah. Maybe the music career can really take off and be our main career. I don't know what part I'll play in that, but you know.
You can be the hype man.
Yeah, I'll be your Flavor Flav.
Yeah, perfect. What oversized house item are you going to wear?
A spatula.
Love it. Big flip.
Big flip. That's the name. Oh. And then I got one last thing to go over before we jump in.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, in one of these episodes, we were talking about eyeshine.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that I had a cousin who is an optometrist.
Okay.
And so I got his phone number and I texted him.
He's like, who's this?
Yeah. And I was like, this is your cousin, David. Originally, I texted, his name's Ben. Ben, if you're listening, thank you for replying. But originally, I texted the wrong Ben in my phone. Yeah. And he was like, who is this? Why are you texting me about eyeballs?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I hope yours are healthy. Bye. And then I texted the proper Ben.
Yeah.
And asked him about the eye shine. And I'm just going to read what he said to me.
Okay.
And again, he's an optometrist, so he actually knows what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I asked him why animals have eye shine. He said, it's the same reason as people having red eyes in old flash photography. The reflection off the back of the eye coming back out through the pupil. Animals with excellent night vision have an extra reflective layer behind the retina to maximize the amount of light they get in the dark. So that layer makes it appear much more prominent. And that layer is called the tapetum lucidum.
Ooh.
And so I asked him, why do different animals have different colors of eye shine?
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said it depends on if they have that layer or not. And he said that the amount of eye shine an animal has is pretty much a direct correlation to how nocturnal they would be.
Okay.
So like cats are going to have more eye shine than dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs are going to have more eye shine than people, so on and so forth. So if we have any more questions about eye shine, we can text Ben Cousin, because that's how he's in my phone.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. You have a system for your phone and how you ID your various contacts, if I remember right.
I have a very efficient system. This is my most millennial trait, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
If I know you and you are in my phone as a contact, there is a 90% chance that you are first name and then how I know you.
Okay.
So I have Ben Cousin.
Uh-huh.
I have Derek HVAC.
What's he do? Just kidding.
I have John Electrician.
Mm-hmm.
And then
these are friends, or these are just,
this is like, oh, there's something wrong with my AC.
Mm-hmm.
Pull up Derek HVAC.
But that's like a business. That's not like your buddy who knows HVAC.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the person from the company that I use for that type of stuff, right?
I like that you're on a first name basis, though. That's sweet.
Right. I will say you should feel honored.
Yeah.
Because I think I've had your phone number like since we got cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just Evan.
Oh, no, no subtitle, no subtext.
There's no descriptor for Evan.
Okay. I kind of want one.
Evan, co-host.
Yeah, love it.
I mean, this extends to like I said, Ben Cousin. So it extends to family. It even goes so far as my wife and one of my sisters have the same first name.
Uh-huh.
So I have sister Lauren.
Yeah.
And I have wife Lauren. And that was how they were originally in my phone. Sister Lauren and wife Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
But I needed to distinguish wife and sister because you don't want to be crossing those text messages.
No, not at all.
And so now it is sister Lauren and wife Dowd, her maiden name.
So what if you meet a nun named Lauren?
But then I'm just screwed. Then it'll probably be Lauren Nun.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. I want to poke a little deeper here.
Please
what would you say is the weirdest subtext you've attached to somebody's first name to identify them?
Emily Termites.
Is that because of her mannerism or because of her job?
Where we live, you know, termites are a thing. And so I have like a termite protection system around the house. It's just these like weird stakes they put in the ground or whatever.
Yeah.
But the person that the like bug control company got me in touch with was named Emily. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, Emily termites.
Done and done.
That's who I'm texting if I have termite issues.
Love it.
That's probably the weirdest one, but like I could go through my phone and most of them are first name, how I know you.
Is anybody in there with their last name?
My in-laws are in there with their last name, mm-hmm. because my wife sent me their contacts.
Okay. And too much time to go edit all that.
Yeah. Just, so they're the only two, I think, that are in my phone, like actual first name, last name. But outside of that, everybody is one name, either first or last. I have some that are just last name, but one name and then relation to me.
Okay.
Or like business thing that I do for them.
That's usually what the company text field. That's what I was trying to look for, I guess, is where I'll put how I know people. So be like, okay. David Stoldreyer. Friend from great, well, you, I would know. No, only so many stool dryers in the world, but you're like, oh, I met this person on like this film shoot. So I always can like kind of trace back the steps. But
yeah,
I'm terrible with names as it is. So I like have to put the first and last name or else it's just, it's gone.
See, I don't care about last names.
Which is funny because you have one of the most unique ones.
Why I need to talk to you is most important. It's made me numb to last names, I think.
Well, so I have some of my own news to share.
Okay.
So, like, just because it's been a minute since our last recording, like, a lot of stuff happened. I went to my first Ren Fair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember you telling me about that.
It ended up being, like, the one day in April that was 100 degrees in Richmond, so I just got scalded. But I was dressed as a pauper. Is that the right word?
Okay. Like a...
It was the lower class back
like
then.
Like a peasant boy?
Yeah, a peasant boy, which isn't too far from my normal day-to-day. So it was, you know, just more frills. and then I went to the dentist for the first time in 7 years.
As a pauper?
Yeah, just full garb, Renaissance hat with the feather.
Oi, my teeth is bad.
Get security. It was not a good visit.
Okay.
So I want you to guess how many cavities I had. I want to see if you can get close.
So I'm probably going to be off on this because stool trayers have astoundingly good dental health.
Okay. Is that real or is that...
No, it's like a real thing. I don't know why. I really don't know why. But like I'm 38. I do not take good care of my teeth. And in my life, I think I've had 4 cavities that I've had to get filled. And like, that's it.
See, that's crazy to me. So Jess had just gone to the dentist the week before me.
Okay.
And it had been a few years for her because we're out in LA and like dealing with like being uninsured because that's what you have to apparently do when you're in between jobs.
Yeah.
And she was like real worried about it. Goes in. 0 cavities.
Okay.
And I think she's had like one in her whole life. I basically told her, I was like, mine's going to be the total inverse of your experience.
So first time in 7 years, I'm going to say a cavity a year. You had 7.
Keep going.
9.
Keep going.
13.
You're close. 14 cavities. And I need to get my wisdom teeth pulled and I have TMJ.
wait. You didn't get your wisdom teeth pulled when they came in?
No. I just thought you either had a mouth big enough for them or you didn't or something. Is it just like standard practice they pull it? Because I told it to some other friends like, you still have yours? And I was like, do they just take them at some point when they come in?
Well, were you going to the dentist as a teenager?
Yeah.
They were just like, eh, who was your dentist? Did you like...
My last visit was so traumatizing that I was like, I'm not going back to that place ever again. But that's not a good idea either.
So when you were going to the dentist as a teenager, was it like your mom would like drive you down an alley and be like, just go in that door?
What's that man doing with that hammer and chisel? No, actually, I had a pretty good dentist as a kid. But once I went to college and stuff, it was just kind of more on me to like set those appointments and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go to the dentist at all during college.
Yeah, yeah. Same here. But my family has like very genetically terrible teeth. So it's like every time I went to the dentist, I expected to have a cavity or two. And they did this thing where they like spin this machine around my head and have this full like 360 thing. So they can like show you right in front of you now, like, hey, look inside your mouth. And I'm like, please don't make me do this. And there's one tooth. One cavity looks like somebody just took a knife and stabbed it. Like my tooth was in like an alley fight. Somebody came up to me and was like, hey, bitch.
How do you have 14 cavities? That's like more than 50% of your teeth have cavities in them.
It's just under because I still have my wisdom teeth. but not for long. Yeah. So
how many times do you have to go back for fillings?
They said it depends on how long I can tolerate being in the chair. Because my first question was, hey, can you guys just like totally put me under for these fillings? And like, we can, but because you've had lockjaw before from your TMJ, we're worried if you're under, your jaw is going to get stuck open.
So let's get to that. What is TMJ?
It's technically the name of the joint. I'm going to butcher it. It's like trauma, mima joint.
Trauma mima joint?
Trauma mama joint.
I think that's a brand of syrup.
Or cigarette. I don't know. But basically, it's the name of the joint that your jaw uses to like open and close. Okay. Sometimes like overworked and super tight and stuff. So if I open my jaw too wide, my mouth can get stuck open, which happened at the last dentist visit. And then they didn't even bother to tell me, hey, that might be TMJ.
How long does your mouth get stuck open?
That was the first time it happened. And they're like, close your mouth. And I just went, it was more traumatizing despite my laughter. But basically, I was trying to be like, So then they said, oh, is your mouth stuck open? Like, you know, I thought that was pretty self-apparent. So they started massaging my mouth closed. And then it's still at no point did they ever tell me like, hey, this might be TMJ. Go get that looked at. And this was also my first time using my own dental insurance. So I went up front and they're like, your bill is, because I think I was getting like 9 cavities filled at this visit too. So you're seeing a so you're seeing a trend. I promise my mouth doesn't look hideous. It's just little pockets of knife stabs in my teeth. So I go to pay.
So wait, you're at 25 cavities in your life?
Oh, in my whole life?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm probably triple digits, baby. I discovered Sour Patch Kids in my early 20s, and I kind of blame that.
You need to just get dentures.
Basically. Yeah. But so it was my first time using insurance, and I was like, that means everything you need for your health is free. You just give them this card, and then you're good. So I had like 9 cavities filled, and then they're like, all right, your total is like $1,200. And I was like, 23 at the time and had no money and first time using insurance. I was like, well, I have this card. I'm like, no, we use that already. It's $1,200. Like, well, thank God I got a credit card last month for the first time. So
oh my God.
Then I was like, never again. And then fast forward to a week ago and 14 cavities later,
14 here we cavities. Are. Oh my God. Okay.
Between our last recording session and this one, a lot's happened. Just very ill. A lot of teeth work. A ring pair.
Oh God.
If you could find a smooth way to segue all of that into, and maybe this is just Jeff the Mongoose energy we're channeling already. I got a feeling this thing's going to be all over the place.
This is going to go off the chain here. But I can't recover from you having like legitimately 30 plus cavities in your life. Like, I don't know how you have teeth. Your teeth are just like that filling stuff that they put in them now.
In the last 10 years, I've had 30. Before that, I mean, it's probably, I don't even know. But as we're going through like my list of like, how do I not be physically present when they do these cavities next week?
Yeah.
And my first thought was like, make me totally asleep. Like, I don't care if you take me out back and hit me in the head with a hammer.
Yeah.
And I wake up and my teeth are better. Even if I lose some IQ points, but I'm but I'm mentally removed from the process.
Oh, my God.
I'll take it.
Okay.
But then it was like laughing gas. Apparently, that's a no-go, too. So I'm just going to see how much Xanax they can give me, maybe.
There you go.
If not that, I'm just going to run the car in the garage for a little bit before I head over.
Save a couple Xannies for the next Cryptid Quiz episode.
Yeah, I'm on it. Yeah, so that's been my month. Okay.
That sounds like quite a month.
I sound like I'm doing pretty well, right? It's like weeping gas prayer.
Deathly ill in 14 cavities. Margarita time.
Yeah, so you can see I was like, I'm going to have a margarita tonight. I need this.
What kind of tequila are you going with?
1800's my go-to.
Okay. I don't know anything about tequilas. That's like a blind spot in my alcohol knowledge.
It's one of the few I feel like the taste of it's actually decent. When people are like, oh, I just like to sip vodka. I'm like, well, you're crazy. There's certain liquors I'm like, I don't know how you just sit there and just like drink. Okay. Like, but it's a nice vodka. I'm like, I don't care. That sounds awful. Tequila, I don't think I can really do either, but it at least has like an interesting flavor to it.
I've had some mezcal.
Yeah.
That's like smoky.
Yep.
That I feel like I could sip, but just straight tequila.
If you're a Scotch guy, mezcal's more your jam.
Yeah.
But there's some that are like, it's that peaty kind of thing where I'm, It's tough for me, but I've had ones with like a smoked shishito pepper on top, so it kind of enhances the smoke.
Fancy. Yeah, smoked shishito.
That's when you're spending $25 on a cocktail, and then you go home and you go, what just happened? I'm all hopped up on shishito.
Shishito pepper. Oh my God. Okay.
Anyway, so me ranting about my life aside, I'm feeling Jeff, man. I think that's just my energy I got. I'm channeling Jeff the mongoose. Yeah.
Well, let's do, you can add in post a drink clink. All right. I'll have my seltzer water. You have your margarita.
Yes.
And we'll clink.
Clink.
There we go.
All right. Take me to Jeff the mongoose. I'm ready.
All right. So let's go to 1931. We're going to the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man. If you look at like the British Isles.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of in the middle is the Irish Sea, and there's one tiny, small little island in the middle of that that is called the Isle of Man. The Isle of Man today, population 85,000 to 90,000. In 1931, it was 49,308. So not a super tiny population, not like a crazy big population. Isle of Man is classified as a self-governing British Crown dependency. I don't know what that means.
Is that like Puerto Rico for us or something? It's like it's there and we have it, but they're like,
self-governing.
Out.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the Isle of Man is the Puerto Rico of England. It is also the world's only nation where the entire country is a UNESCO biosphere. This is just a fun fact. It doesn't pertain to the story at all. UNESCO biosphere means that it is a location where the human population and nature are one. The Isle of Man is the only place in the world where the whole country is classified that way. So
does that mean like they're at a good state of harmony or something?
Yeah, like they use sustainable energy sources, sustainable food, all that stuff.
Humans haven't done the invasive species bit where we just obliterate everything.
They haven't paved paradise and put up a parking lot.
Counting Crows, is that you?
Was that Counting Crows?
They covered it. I think it was initially Stevie Ray Nicks or something.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Who I think was Fleetwood Mac. I don't know, you're testing my knowledge here. All of this will be wrong.
Just bleep it and put in the correct answers. If it's
Fleetwood
wrong.
Mac.
So that's where we're at. On the Isle of Man, we're going to go to a farmhouse called Dorlish Caston. I guess that's the name of the farmhouse. I put it into Google Maps. You can still look it up.
Is it like a tourist attraction or just it's just kind of still there?
It's just kind of still there, I guess. I guess they just like name their farmhouses there. Like people name their beach houses here. Salty toes.
Wispy shirt. From the wind of the beach.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like, I'm not staying there. It's two out of five stars on Airbnb. Smells weird.
So they decided to name this farmhouse on Airbnb Dorlish Caster or Caston. I don't know. I have terrible handwriting and I can't tell if I wrote O-R or E-N.
So. I think just pick your horse and we'll ride it.
Yeah, that's the one we're going with. Living there is the Irving family. We have the dad, James. We have the mom, Margaret, and then we have the daughter, Voiry, V-O-I-R-R-E-Y.
Voiry.
Voiry.
Voiry, get in here.
Voiry.
Get in here, Voiry.
So she was about 13 at the time that all this is going down. And then I also have a note that the farmhouse was relatively isolated.
Okay.
So they're not like in suburbia. They got, I guess, some land around them.
Yeah.
So They're chilling, they're living their lives, they're doing their thing. And then at some point, they start hearing some intense like scratching and rustling coming from inside the walls.
Okay.
And being a farmhouse, they're not like overly concerned. They figure it's like some sort of rodent, maybe a rat or squirrels living in the walls.
Yeah.
I remember I had a family of squirrels living in the attic above my head in my first college apartment, and they would wake up and be so loud at like 6 a.m.
Were they scratching or doing the like that weird squirrel bark?
Both.
Nice.
And it was so annoying, and I just wanted to sleep.
Especially if you had partied the night before, I'd be like,
right,
I'm going to go in that crawl space.
Don't you squirrels understand? I had a Four Loko last night.
Oh! I picture you up in that attic space just choking squirrels out.
So they figure it's something like that. But sort of over time, the noises start to transition into voices.
Interesting.
And at first, it's not like a clear conversation. It's more like the murmur of a crowd of people.
Okay.
You can tell it's people talking. It's someone talking, but you can't make out individual words type of thing.
So there's a thing in film where background, when you need it to sound like talking without saying stuff, mm-hmm. you'll have people just say rutabaga over and over.
Rutabaga, rutabaga,
rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga, rutabaga,
rutabaga. I'm going to listen for that now. Can you hear it if you watch movies?
I don't think they actually use the audio. It's just what you say so your mouth moves enough.
Oh, okay.
It can also be called like walla. Walla, 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 walla. If you ever want to get like real tripped out, just go look up like background sounds for video and maybe you just have to be really into it. It can be really fun. Rutabaga.
I'm going to sign up to be an extra in some movies and just like tell them I'm really good at saying rutabaga.
Oh my God, he's perfect. Hire this man.
So transition into voices. And then again, after some amount of time, voices start to become a little clearer mm-hmm. and they start like mimicking the family. Like the dad, James, would say something and then the voice coming from the wall would repeat it back to him.
Did it feel like I was trying to learn their speech patterns? Am I jumping the gun here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stop jumping the gun.
Jump straight to conclusions in the seventh minute.
So it starts mimicking the family mm-hmm. and then eventually it just starts talking for itself. It's fluent in English.
Okay.
And they describe the voice as being like a high-pitched, whispery tone.
Hey, Evan, how's it going? You want to come hang out with me at the walls?
My name's Jeff.
Jeff is a super cool guy, and I live at the walls, and I come upstairs. We're coming here, and I got a video game system. We can all hang out.
There you go. Now, just do that as Gwen Stefani.
Hey, the wall of Maker. There you go. Okay, so...
So once it becomes fully autonomous speaking,
yep.
this voice introduces himself as Jeff. G-E-F.
Does he just spell it out for them? He's like, by the way, don't get this wrong. It's G-E-F, no O.
My name's Jeff.
Is that from some... My name's Jeff.
It's Channing Tatum in some movie, right?
21 Jump Street, maybe?
I think so. So he introduces himself as Jeff. He... says he is a mongoose. Mm-hmm. He was born in New Delhi, India.
Okay.
He's around 400 years old.
400? Okay.
And he says, quote, he is an extra clever mongoose.
Mm.
The worst kind.
You know, the people who tell you that they're smart are usually the smartest. I've found.
That's how it works, right?
So this is a wizened older cryptid.
Yeah, wizened old man mongoose from India named Jeff, who is extra clever. So the voice always comes from inside the walls. According to the family, he does peek out occasionally.
From?
I guess they have holes in their walls. I don't know.
This house sounds like it's in disrepair.
They say that he has left footprints around the outside of the house, mm-hmm. that he has left fur in and around the house.
So he leaves the walls, but they don't seem too much out there.
Right. And they would eventually come to kind of sort of just like be cool with Jeff the mongoose living in their walls or something, mm-hmm. because they would like leave food out for him to eat and... They claim that he would eat the food that they left out on the dining room table for him.
This is like a lifestyle choice.
It feels that way.
Jess's mom is all about feeding their wildlife. So they have like a raccoon that she'll just like hold a spoon of jam out the window for and look up and lick it. So it's just like, I personally be like, I don't want a raccoon finding its way in my home. And I think some people welcome it.
Have we ever talked about, this is a good point when we're talking about the... UNESCO biosphere mm-hmm. and interacting with nature. Have I ever told you that I have a strange ability to speak with birds?
I can't say that it's come up.
Okay.
But I would like to know more.
Let me present the evidence, and then I promise we'll get back to Jeff.
I also have a bird story about talking to birds, but you start, because yours will be better.
At one point in time, you were known as the bird with the word.
That was our neighbor.
Oh, was it?
I was Mad Cat.
Mad Cat.
You were okay. A rough dog. He was the bird with the word. He drew the short straw. We had the cool names.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
So, anyways. The bird with the word. So, at my current house, I've been here 5 years. Mm-hmm. I am not joking. There has probably been somewhere between 10 and 12 incidents of birds flying into my house.
Like fully inside.
Yeah, like fully into the house, right? And so the first time it happened, one like flew in the front door. As soon as I opened the front door, it flew into the house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what in the world? How am I going to get this bird out of this house? And like my dog is freaking out. My kids are like, oh my God, it's a bird. So I was like, all right, everybody go in the other room. Let me handle this. So I went to the front door and I propped the front door open and I have no idea what I'm doing, right?
Sure.
Literally, this is what I did. I was like, hey man,
yeah,
like front door's open. You probably like it a lot more out there. There's a lot more room to fly around. Mm-hmm. You probably don't want to be in this house. Not 5 seconds later, he flies right out the front door.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a minute. How did that work? So then it happened a second, third, fourth time. And every single time.
Four times?
Like I said, I'm not joking. It's happened 10 to 12 times since I've been in this house. It's like the same consistency with which you have cavities. And so every single time I just talk to the bird and then they fly out, right? And this kind of all culminated in a hummingbird. Mm-hmm. Flew into my garage, and my garage has like a really high ceiling on it.
Oh, and they're hyper.
Yeah, they're super hyper. And so it flew into the garage and it's like just hitting the ceiling. It's just like flying along the ceiling. The ceiling of my garage, no joke, is probably like 20 feet up.
Oh, okay.
So like even with like a step stool, I'm not getting close to it. And so it's up there. I started talking to him. I was like, hey man, I know you're probably tired. You probably want to chill for a bit, right? You can like land on this or that or whatever. And I'm pointing at stuff in the garage. Mm-hmm. 10 seconds later, it flies down and it lands on the ledge, like outer wall of my garage.
Yeah.
And I promise you, I am not making this up.
Okay.
I walked over to it, put my hand around it, and just picked the hummingbird up, walked outside and let it go, and it flew away.
Did you wash your hand?
Yes, I washed my hand.
And you're like, and then we all got bird flu.
But
that's
crazy. I have picked up a wild hummingbird. I don't feel like many people can say that.
No, we have a hummingbird feeder out back. We can't even get them to drink sugar water out of our feeder, let alone let me come out and grab them.
So I got something weird with birds. If any listeners out there got a bird stuck in your house, just FaceTime me and I'll take care of it.
Well, my family's always been very into birds, and I was always like, I mean, they're fine, like it's cool, but the older you get, you're like, oh, these are like dinosaurs still roaming the planet. All right, it's getting a little cooler. And we have a cardinal out back that we call Cardi B for cardinal bird.
Okay. I like it.
But it's funny how I was always just didn't really get it, and now every time I look back, I'm like, oh, it's a new one. But I remember as a kid, as far as like speaking to birds and them, you know, vibing, you know,
what's yeah.
it, like the mind meld, is that that's from some science fiction mm-hmm. thing that nerds get on about. But I was out front and I was like 11, and there was this bird just being like, wah. I was like, oh, I can imitate that. As kids do. So I'm sitting on the glider out front like, wah. And then it's like, so naturally my response is so then these other birds come and sit on the branch with it, and they're all just like kind of looking at me on the glider going wah. And then like four more come and join it. I was like,
what?
It got to be too much. I was like, I'm gonna go inside because I feel like they're either gonna like attack me or come try and mate with me. Like something was not going to go. I don't know how that would work. But there was 8 of them.
Oh my God.
Mom!
Speaking of Cardi B, spring is gay cardinal season.
Oh.
Because all of the flags and other things that you see always have two male cardinals on them. Because
the women are gray-ish, brown.
Gray-brown, yeah.
But I have seen, so I'm an honorary member, but you have the men who love flags or something. Was it
the DDF, Dads for Decorative Flags.
Dads for Decorative Flags. Yeah. What's your spring flag? What you got out right now?
It's like flowers and it says, it's springtime.
Okay, that works. Yeah. Yeah, we have like, there's butterflies on it. It says welcome, even though nobody comes over. but Jess was like, you know, whenever you see those flags with these two cardinals, like they're always gay. I'm like, hey, right on. To each bird, you know, whatever they're into, that's cool.
Yeah, but, I'm here for it.
But then that day we were driving around, and I saw a flag with a red cardinal and brown cardinal on it. So they're, you know, they were straight, but you know, representation for all, that's all we need. Like gay cardinals, straight cardinals, some bi.
That
some
household
bi
was probably cardinals. MAGA.
I ain't gonna have no flag out with two red Cardi B's. That's just out of the question. All that to say is communication with animals is very real. And sometimes it's a mongoose in your walls.
It is. And getting back to that point.
Is that a good segue?
Excellent segue. So at first, Jeff is just, you know, chatting with them, having conversations, right? He's in the walls. And then he starts killing rabbits and leaving them outside of the farmhouse, sort of like as a gift to the family. Like, I killed this for you. You can cook it or whatever.
Cats will do that for you, too. They like, you know, kill some and then just leave it on the stoop and then look at you like, you're welcome. I'm like, well, we're going to get pizza, but I guess I'll eat this rodent.
So that's Jeff. He's killing rabbits. He's leaving them as presents. Eventually, he gets to the point where he starts singing songs.
Okay. Do you know any of what he was singing?
Chumbawamba.
Naturally. First pick. He's in the UK. It makes sense.
Yeah, the old English classic. I hear it was once used to raise the spirits of the Roanoke colony.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah, so he starts singing a whiskey drink, a vodka drink.
And I get that thing out of the wall.
And then he starts getting sort of grandiose.
Okay.
He starts referring to himself as the eighth wonder of the world.
I love this guy.
Right? He's great. He eventually gets to the point where he starts repeating conversations that he could not possibly have heard. Hmm. Like, he'll repeat neighbors' conversations. But if you remember, the house was pretty by itself.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's no way you could hear what your neighbors are talking about. But he would start repeating conversations that he was claiming were neighbors' conversations.
Okay. So can I ask at this juncture, is this a real family? Do we know?
This family actually existed.
Okay.
Yes.
I was just, so do you know if they were like, were they close to their neighbors? I guess given the story, like you were saying, you're like, just lean into it and don't poke.
It's just strap in for the ride. Cause
like, well, do they even know the Reynolds down the street? Cause this sounds fake.
And around this time that he starts talking about like repeating the neighbors' conversations, he says that lately he's been riding the bus into town. And he decides that he has a gourmet palate and he starts demanding certain foods be left out for him. His favorite foods that he liked to demand were bacon, eggs, and bread and butter.
Okay.
And then he sort of starts with the insults. If the food wasn't good enough.
What the hell are you doing in there?
I said over medium, not over easy.
Get in this wall right now, Margaret.
He would start insulting the family if the food wasn't good enough for his gourmet palate.
Which was a palate of four food items.
Yeah. Bacon, eggs, bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
And so he starts, he's particularly insulting towards Margaret.
I knew it. I told you I'm channeling that guy.
And he starts getting more and more attention seeking, demanding certain foods, demanding recognition for his accomplishments. At one point, he tells Margaret, I could kill you, but I won't.
Good night. Isn't that true of all people, though? It's like, hey, David, I could kill you, but like,
but I won't. So he's riding the bus into town. The family claims around this time he starts sitting on beds, and sometimes he'll like lay across their shoulders
as a threat. Or
the family says they could feel him, but he was unseen.
Okay.
They could feel him laying on their shoulders, but they couldn't see him laying on their shoulders.
There's something symbolic about that. The growing weight of Jeff,
right,
as he eats his bacon, eggs, and bread and butter.
Voiry, the daughter, is sort of the only one that is immune from the insults. He doesn't really insult Voiry. Voiry's his favorite.
Okay.
She says that she has seen him, and she described him as like a weasel with a human face.
Oh. So not quite a mongoose.
So that, for some reason, I feel like you'll know the name of this game, but it reminds me of that game that was just like a fish with a human face. Remember that?
It was called Semen. It was on Dreamcast, I think.
You would know the name to that.
Yeah, I remember seeing the ad, and then also like I was in middle school and probably heard Semen for the first time. And seeing that game and like, what? What could this game be?
It was shortly after that that you were dubbed the Pump King, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of life experiences happening that year.
So the insults keep coming. At one point, James is just sitting at the breakfast table, eating his breakfast, reading the paper, and Jeff chimes in with, "Read it out, you fat-headed gnome."
Got him.
And then Jeff continues to get more grandiose, and he starts running around the house shouting, "I'll split the atom."
That'll show him.
So at this point, Jeff is riding the bus into town. He's going to split the atom. He could kill the family. He's demanding food. He's insulting everyone.
He's a stone's throw away from just taking this house over.
Right. And by 1935, this story has gotten out of Dawlish Caston and gotten into the British papers and news reports.
This is real.
Yeah. Like by 1935, okay, this, the story of there's a talking mongoose that lives in this house has like people have heard about this.
Okay.
And so in 1935, I feel like the people that we were in a past life.
You and me
in a past life decide to investigate the farmhouse. This is Harry Price, Britain's most famous paranormal investigator.
It's the most British name I've ever heard.
Yeah, Harry Price and his partner, R.S. Lambert, an editor at the BBC. So we got our duo of paranormal person and editor. Mm-hmm. So they decide we're going to actually go to this farmhouse and like see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the farmhouse. They stay for a while.
I'm sorry. What was Harry Price's like profession or whatever?
He was Britain's most famous paranormal investigator. So like this is what he did.
Okay.
They interviewed the family for a while. They did collect hair samples and they like casted footprints to see what was going on with that. And a lot of what they did was they analyzed the layout of the house. They determined that the acoustics are really good.
Nice.
And so like, yeah, so like sound waves could travel from room to room very easily.
Okay.
It was something with the way the walls were built. Sound could travel through things pretty easily.
Okay.
But they did notice that Jeff refused to appear or speak while they were at the house. But the family reports the instant they left, he started insulting them.
Yeah. What did he drop?
They didn't list any specific insults. I imagine it was something to the effect of calling them a wanker.
Always classic.
Do you remember? I have a very distinct memory.
I told this story last week
in high school. Yeah. We were in class, yeah. And
do you want me to paint the picture?
Sure.
We went to a high school that specialized, quote unquote,
in technology.
In technology, which basically meant, look, there's laptops that we didn't plan for what students might do with them. So total chaos for the first, well, pretty much the whole time. We did a class that was even more specialized than that. And for some reason, we all got PDAs for half the class.
What is that?
A PDA?
Public display of affection.
Yeah, I'm just back there making out. No, it's like a Palm Pilot. Personal digital assistant.
Oh, I don't remember getting one of those, but okay.
But there was this game called Jawbreaker. on it.
Okay.
And you had your stylus and you like poke these dots and they would all fall or something like that. Basically like old school Candy Crush. Like, okay. You know how Snake used to be on phones?
Yeah.
This was like the game on Palm Pilots. But I guess there was like an exchange teacher.
hold on. Let me take over the story from here. So we are in Ms. class, and this was not it wasn't a conventional classroom. It was just sort of like a meeting room where we would all just go and hang out for a while. And Ms. like had a desk at the head of this room, and Evan's in there playing his precursor to Candy Crush.
Yeah.
And Ms. announces to the class that we have a guest from England. And Evan immediately, when she says a guest from England, Evan goes, "Is he a wanker?" And then the guy is sitting right there.
He did start laughing.
He did. He took a good.
I had no idea he was actually in the room.
No, you did.
Because very busy playing Jawbreaker. Somebody taps me on the shoulder and just goes, "He's right there."
Yeah, you thought she was saying like next week we're gonna have a guest.
Yeah, like he's gonna come visit. Even though he'd probably come in there like, "Hello," and I'm like, "Mm-hmm, Jawbreaker." So, and then he laughed about it because he probably knew I had no idea what I was talking about. But she was like, "Well, what's a wanker?" And we're like, someone in the class naturally, because it was public school, said, "Well, just Google it." And the first link somehow said how to write like a wanker. And I don't know if this was like the school filter, but she clicks in. It's just like this weirdly expositive thing about how to write like a wanker. And I don't know if it was like tongue in cheek or what.
Oh,
but then once she found out what it actually meant, and I'll leave that up to our listeners to do their
own they can Google it.
Yeah, they can Google it. What it actually was like, "All right, I want you to go apologize to him." And he was gone. So I just wrote an apology letter. I was just like, "I'm sorry that I called you a wanker. I watched a lot of Guy Ritchie movies and heard the word and thought it was funny. And I didn't know you were in the room."
Oh, God. I didn't know that part.
So he just comes back from lunch and just has this like letter. And he's probably just like, "I mean, I didn't really care that much. Like, I mean, you know, they're very profane in England."
Okay. So Jeff is throwing those insults after the researchers leave. The next year, 1936, the best name I will ever mention on this podcast decides to go and investigate, introducing Nandor Fodor.
Yes.
Nandor Fodor.
Yes.
Goes to the farmhouse.
I don't even care how it's spelled. I love it.
Nandor Fodor. He is a research officer for the International Institute for Psychical Research. He stays at the farmhouse.
"Hey, honey, Nandor's here."
"You mean that Fodor guy?"
"That's the one."
"Yeah, Nandor Fodor."
"I see one."
Nandor Fodor. I can't even do that in a British accent. Say Nandor Fodor in a British accent.
Nandor. Well, that's... "Oh, it's Nandor Fodor."
There we go.
"You are, it's Nandor Fodor."
It sounds more like a hobbit.
"Nandor right. Fodor's here for 11sies.
We're losing our entire English audience on this episode. All four of them.
Lately, we've been really big in Vietnam, so let's lean into that.
Oh, let's go. We got to find some Vietnamese cryptids.
Yeah, I'll find a Vietnamese cryptid. So Nandor stays at the farmhouse for an entire week. He never sees or hears Jeff once. But Nandor Fodor's conclusion is that it was, quote, a manifestation of James Irving's repressed emotions.
You know, that was going to be my first guess in the conclusions. But also say it again because I don't know what James Irving was.
A manifestation of James Irving's repressed emotions. So apparently James Irving's emotions take the form of an Indian mongoose in the wall.
Do you know who James Irving is?
The dad.
Oh. I'm over here Googling it. It says it's this guy who had a mongoose in the wall.
Did you really have no idea who James Irving was?
I pulled the notes aside just so I could see the family names. I'm still like, who the hell is this James Irving character?
Oh my God.
Once Nandor Fodor came in, I was obsessed with that man.
I am obsessed with Nandor Fodor. So after those sets of researchers go in, Julian Huxley and F. Martin Duncan, mm-hmm. they analyze the hair sample and they say it is definitely from a dog.
No. People who initialize their first name
tend to be murderers.
Do you think they go by the letter?
Oh.
Oh, this is F. Scott Fitzgerald, but you can just call him F. I'm like, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. What did people in like F. Scott Fitzgerald's personal life call him? What did F stand for?
Fun.
Frederico?
Foisha.
Foisha. There we go.
Foisha. If we already have Nandor Fodor, we can have a Foisha.
Maybe it was Fodor Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah, right. It's funny you say that. I thought Fodor would be more of like a PH, like a fat daddy kind of situation.
Like a fat daddy.
Fodor was the OG, OG fat daddy. Fat daddy Nandor. I mean, I want to hang out with that guy.
Fat daddy Nandor. That sounds like a Star Wars character.
Yeah. Like Jar Jar Binks' cool brother.
Yeah.
Mista gonna kick your sh**. That's the full extent of my Star Wars knowledge. Oh, God. You're like, yeah, it shows.
Evan has one of the world's most extensive collections of Jar Jar Binks memorabilia.
I didn't think they'd make a wallpaper of him, but they do. I don't know how the table read. They were like, should we pivot?
Does this make sense?
This character. This sucks.
Oh my God. We'll put in some break music there, and we'll come back in with.
And I'll have a Jar Jar Binks be like, now take us back to the story. How does he? Isn't that kind of how he talks? Me still want to go back to the story.
Do a break there. Like a break between wherever we're finishing and we're getting to theories of Jar Jar Binks singing Wonderwall.
Okay. I mean, it's a British story, so it fits.
Yeah, right. That's, you know.
Beast of Wonderwall.
Maybe.
Mister wants me to save me.
Oh my.
Oh. Okay. Oh. So, coming out of Wonderwall from Jar Jar Binks. So,
Wonderwall, Jar Jar Binks. Hope you all enjoyed that. I've tasked Evan now with two songs.
If it doesn't happen, I'm just not going to put it in there and we'll just let this play out. It'll be fine.
Okay. So theories here. Yeah, let's do a new file for theories.
Oh, okay. God. All right, rolling here again. This will be a fun one.
I'm going to throw this in here rather than at the end. Mm-hmm. So Evan and I have been brainstorming ways to advertise the podcast, and every single one of them we're priced out of. But we found out that in very rural areas, you can get a radio ad for as little as $20. And so if anybody has a suggestion on what random rural area we should just pummel with Oddity Archive radio ads and confuse every single citizen living there, we're open to it.
Yeah.
Send us what little towns we should destroy with the Oddity Archive.
Or if you live somewhere small and think we could advertise there, let us know. I don't care if it's in Germany.
Oh, yeah. We can go international.
Right. Like, I'll have a German billboard.
Do you think a billboard in Vietnam would be cheap?
I don't even know how to start to estimate that, David. I want it to be.
I didn't even think about going international. So, yeah, if anybody out there has a suggestion on where we should try to do a cheap radio ad, we're all ears.
Or a billboard ad. What should the copy be on the billboard? That's media speak for the words.
Okay. So, in addition to that, I'm also, at some point in probably the next month, I'm going to peer pressure Evan into going on Instagram Live with me and have a bowl of cereal.
Okay.
And just interact with any fans that happen to join in.
Yeah, I'm here for that.
So, follow us on Instagram if you want to eat a bowl of cereal with us. We're going to be Night Bowl Boys.
It doesn't have to be Grape Nuts, the greatest cereal ever made, right? I don't have to eat Grape Nuts, the greatest cereal ever made.
Still haven't heard back from them.
Okay, then them. Grape nuts suck.
No, I'm still hopeful.
I'm sorry. In that case, yeah, we'll see.
All right. So we got all that out of the way. Now, let's talk about some theories about what's going on with old Jeffy boy.
Theories on Jeff, yeah.
So, I'm not going too in-depth with theories on Jeff, because this story is just insane. Like, you know, a talking mongoose in the wall.
Did Paige tell you how she found this story?
I think it was on a podcast that she listens to. I don't know which one.
Okay.
But I think, like, they covered the story, and she was like, this story is insane, and you guys need to cover it. So I was like, yeah, will do. And then when I got into it, I was like, this could be another good episode for Evan to drink during.
What episode isn't, David?
So the theories essentially are, there's like a bunch of nonsense theories, really. And then there's one theory that's both hilarious and makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say the nonsense theories are like, it was an actual cryptid. It was like an extraterrestrial being. It was James repressed memories. What's the line from Fight Club?
Which one?
It was like, you are blah, blah, blahs.
I am Jack's pancreas. Yeah.
those lines. Something like that. Everything from cryptid to some sort of spiritual being to extraterrestrial. All that stuff. That stuff's just insane. That doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one theory that I've heard about this, because again, I'm not making this story up. Go look it up. There were actual reports in the 30s of a mongoose talking in a farmhouse wall. And so the one theory that actually makes sense, and I think is, I guess, kind of obviously the answer,
mm-hmm,
is that it was the daughter Voiri practicing ventriloquism.
Uh-huh.
So that's the theory that everybody proposes. That is the leading theory. I could not find any evidence whatsoever of Voiri ever practicing a ventriloquism like openly, or like going to school for it, or ever doing it publicly. Like, there's no reports on this.
But as a kid, you realize, like, oh, if I talk here, like, it goes through the vents. Like, you know, when you hear stuff from, like, downstairs,
oh,
it's, like,
yeah,
through the air vent. You're, mm-hmm, like, oh, so if you, yeah, say stuff, like, this can happen. I could see it being something like that. These stories are always funny because I'm thinking, oh, the parents be like, oh, it's just a kid messing around. That's, like, sweet, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the fact that it could ever escalate to a news story would mean somebody would have to take it way too seriously.
The parents were totally buying in, right?
Yeah.
And so, really, the only question to me is, were the parents in on it, or did the parents genuinely not know that she was doing this? Because the whole thing makes sense, right? If you remember, Voiri was the quote-unquote favorite. You're a 13-year-old girl, and you basically found a way to just insult your parents however and whenever you want to. Like, you're totally doing that, right?
It's the perfect crime. It's like, the perfect
you're
crime.
Yelling at your mom. You're cooking socks. Bring me more bacon and eggs, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's perfect.
No more stewed cabbage, you nerd.
Right. In addition with, like you said, you know, the vents and stuff, and the researchers figuring out that voices could travel really well inside the house just based on the structure.
Mm-hmm.
And so really the only question to me is, were the parents in on it or not?
I think so. Everybody tells stories, right? It's like part of humanity is being creative and storytelling. But I think especially like British and Irish, like, they're very much like storyteller people and love to like bring your boy in here so I can tell him a great yarn. So I could see the parents being like, oh, let's just like support her story, and then maybe it just kind of spread locally, even though it was like a little tongue-in-cheek. And then you know, there's news stories that are always like the leprechaun. If you've seen the leprechaun, say yeah. Like that. Do you know what story I'm talking about?
Yes, one of the greatest news stories of all time.
I'm trying to think how to describe that news story. They're basically like, let's just dig up this tree and try and find this, like,
bring in a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold at.
I want the gold. So it could be that kind of thing where it's like, rather than be like, that's not real, it's like, well, let's just have fun with it as a community and like kind of just lean into it a little bit and have a fun story out of it.
Okay. See, I like to think that it was Voiri and the parents weren't in on it. And she was just like mad at her mom one day and was like, I could kill you, but I won't. Yeah. Like, dad's reading the newspaper and she's like, goes over to the vent and she's like, you fat-headed gnome.
All right. So I do like that better.
Yeah, right. That feels more entertaining to me. But
one more in line with like kid hijinks of like, I could tell mom and dad anything.
I just like that Nandor Fodor First of all, the best name I've ever heard in my life. Anyways, he is like, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to go to this house. He spends a full week, a full 7 days at the farmhouse. Nothing happens. He doesn't see Jeff. He doesn't hear Jeff. He's just like living with this family fairly normally for a week. And then he leaves and he's like, it was James' repressed memories. What?
Well, maybe because he met the dad and he's like, he sucks. So he was like, oh, it's probably voyeur. But like,
he just wanted to.
This man's got some to work out. But I'm surprised voyeur wouldn't do stuff while people were visiting. Because I feel like as a kid, especially if it got ramped up, unless she was just like too afraid. You said she was like 13 or so.
Yeah, afraid to get caught, probably. Like she knew she could get over on her parents. But like,
yeah.
Actual researchers showed up. She was probably like, oh.
Yeah. What do you think you could get away with as a kid back then?
Probably all sorts of stuff.
Like anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, absolutely. I feel like the punishments were worse, oh, but yeah. The range of
possibilities,
like messing around with people, were huge.
So that concludes the story of Jeff the Mongoose.
I like this one. Very good recommendation, Paige. Very fun. I feel like there's a lot of Jeff in me. A lot of voyeury also.
Coming full circle. That's why I feel like you singing a song as Jeff the Mongoose is going to work out well. I think it's going to come natural to you.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think? He's like an insult comic kind of vibe? Like, what's my angle coming in here as Jeff?
My creative mind goes to a really grandiose mongoose. Like he's talking about, he's a very clever mongoose. He can split the atom. He's the eighth wonder of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like, yeah, just boasting about things. But Gwen Stefani, I don't think ever rapped. But
no,
you know.
But you know, we always kind of we take our liberties. All right, that's a fun one, especially after our deep dive into Amelia, which I'm working through as we speak. You'll already know because you've heard it by now. By the time you get to this episode.
That episode, so we haven't, as we're recording this episode, we haven't released Amelia Part 2 yet. I have no memory of recording that episode.
Every time I go into edit, I'm like, we talked about the Chesterfield Airport restaurant for like 30 minutes. Yeah, it's always fun to go back into the edit. I feel like just enough time passes or life stuff happens. It just leaves my brain, but it's always fun to jump back in. That'll be a good one.
Call to action for the listeners. Of course, you can always email us, message us on Instagram. It's Oddity Archive Podcast on Instagram, oddityarchivepodcast@gmail.com. Specifically, what I could use for now is I'm going to do another real cryptid or poorly scripted episode.
Uh-oh.
And I think I'm going to get a guest on, and it's me, Evan, versus the guest. But if you're listening and you want to give me a fake cryptid, I'm all ears. Give me a fake cryptid name.
Mm.
Give me, you know, a short paragraph description of the fake cryptid, and I might use it on the episode. Those are tough to come up with. It's a lot of trying to be sly with the wording. So if you're out there and you'd like to participate in a way with the podcast, send me some fake cryptids that I could use.
Love it.
And with that...
We're just gonna wing it a little bit. I'm scratching at your door, scratching at your wall, and you won't answer my call. I'm a mongoose, and my name is Jeff, and the best is yet for you to get. I wanna watch your family sleep. I wanna watch your family eat. I want to watch your family live a life that a mongoose could never live. I live in your walls and I'm scratching in the halls, but man, that oatmeal looks real good in the morning for some breakfast. Wanna have a little bit? Can I have a little bit, please? Let a mongoose eat down on my mongoose knees, knees, knees. Ow.
I am David Stuhldreher, creator and host. The show is edited by my co-host, Evan Miller. Theme music done by Sean Bullock. You can follow him at Sean Bullock Video on Instagram. All original artwork done by Tannis. You can follow her at Tannis Tattoos on Instagram as well. Thank you for listening.